Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 30th of October, 2011. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim spoke on a new commandment, and the reading is John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. So let's go and join Tim for the sermon.
This morning, our focus is on what we've just sung. And on one level, you might think, well, yeah, that makes sense. Where's the issue? You know, this is nothing new. What's new about this? Jesus' new commandment is simply a sensible way of living with one another. And as you just sung it together, Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. The thing is, it might make sense, but it so rarely happens. When we look at our society, we actually find that the command is still as relevant as when Jesus first taught his disciples. Because the truth is that human beings have a tendency to be almost totally self-serving and self-centered when left on their own. And so when people steal and commit crime, it's actually in direct opposition to Jesus' command. And when we see the spiraling levels of family breakdown and moral failure, then it's a direct failure of Jesus' command. And when we're caught up in the present crisis of the financial and political policies, it's because of the greed and the power struggles which are in direct conflict with Jesus' command. And when churches fall out or choose isolation over interdependence, it's in direct contrast to Jesus' command. And we've got to remember that Jesus was recognized as a complete radical in his own day. And his teaching is as explosive today, if we'll let it, as it was when he first taught his first followers. So what's so difficult about loving one another? Why do we find it so hard? And what does love look like? Louis Cassel said this: the love that Christ commands is not easy, even for people who are blessed with great natural warmth of heart. And it's not impossible, even for those of us who tend to be crabby and short-tempered. For Christian love is not a vague feeling of affection for someone. It's rather a condition of the heart and will that causes us to seek the welfare of others, including people we don't particularly like, and even people who have done us wrong. I think that's quite a good summary of what we're thinking about this morning. And so here are just a few thoughts, and I acknowledge that they're moderately random. Have you ever had a random week? Yes. Some of you are saying, I live in a state of randomness. But here are some thoughts. And the first is this: that we should have our identity in love. This week at our elders' meeting on Tuesday, we were thinking about how to respond to the call to go deeper in our life with God. And one thing mentioned, and he's here this morning, but I won't embarrass him, was the cause and effect of knowing Jesus. And the thing is, sometimes we're so focused on what knowing Jesus should produce in us, the effect, that we forget that it actually comes by being close in our walk with Jesus. He is the cause. You can't have the effect without knowing the cause deeply. Does that make sense? They can't be separated from each other. And this is very true when we start thinking about loving one another. Because to be honest, some of you, I couldn't stand in normal circumstances. Let's be honest, there's always a few, aren't there, that we're not too sure about on a natural level. But that's not what we're talking about. Jesus expressed love in the whole of his life. He did it in what he said, he did it in what he did, and he communicated it to those who were around him. And I did, tongue-in-cheek, when we were talking about this at Elders, suggest that perhaps Jesus had a slight advantage being God. But the thing is, there's actually a serious thought there, because I think some of us think like that. I think we look at Jesus and we say, well, he was a one-off. He was a unique example of what being a human being is like. Surely God can't actually mean that we should be like him. Well, actually, God does expect his people to be like Jesus, to love like Jesus. We need to become more and more like him. And that's the bottom line. And one reason that I believe Jesus was able to love so completely in everything that he was engaged with, in all of his relationships, was the knowledge of where his identity came from. His value and sense of worth wasn't based on what others thought of him, but on who he was in God, and in his case, as God. And it's reflected in a saying by Francis Roberts. He who knows he is loved can be content with a piece of bread, while all the luxuries of the world can't satisfy the craving of the lonely. That's quite a powerful thought, isn't it? The thing is, if we know who we are in Jesus, all of those different aspects, the fact that we can be secure, that we are loved, that we are safe, and that we're complete, and that we're valued, and that we're forgiven, and that we're renewed, and I could have gone on and on and on, but you get the idea, don't you? If we can glimpse and put within our sense of identity and who we are, that picture of who we are in Jesus, then I suggest that from that place of fullness, the command to love follows. Without that, it will be impossible to attain it. Surely that's been something of what we've been exploring when we've been thinking about who Jesus is over these last few months. And we've thought about some of the fantastic things he brings into our experience as his followers when we focus on the Saviour. Colossians describes this in the way that knowing the peace through Jesus, other things start to flow naturally. Or spiritually naturally. It's not natural in our human. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Get that right. Live in it. Since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish with one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, I think that covers everything, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so in the life of Jesus, we see examples of how Jesus loved on a daily basis. Remember some of those phrases which just sort of came to my mind as I was thinking about this morning, which really indicate the process of implementing love in Jesus' life. Do you remember when the Bible says that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem? Yeah? He set his face towards Jerusalem just before he was going to be tried and convicted and crucified. Jesus consciously made the decision to set his face towards Jerusalem. There are other times where these little connecting phrases give us a glimpse into how Jesus lived in love. Jesus saw the crowds and had compassion on them. Didn't just feel it, he had compassion on them. And again, I think that's all part of the reality of the words of the Bible conveying to us that love is intentional. It's a decision to act. It's a purposeful determination to act in a loving way. And of course, the greatest and the most poignant of those little phrases that we see throughout the New Testament was when Jesus talked about those who were murdering him. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And the thing is, in the life of Jesus, we see that love is not about being weak. Sometimes Jesus' words challenged people with truth in a confrontational way. He pointed out mistakes. He would reveal where problems and sin were hiding in people's experiences. But in his incredible love, Jesus would also then point to the solution, or provide a way forward, or reveal a progression to lead to forgiveness and wholeness. And so love is not about being a doormat to other people's needs, but it's about revealing the love of God in all of its facets to bring people to a more complete way of living. And so from Jesus we see love is costly. Don't let anybody suggest otherwise. Love is intentional. You can't do it with a fuzzy feeling. Love is strong. It's the most powerful force there is. And love is vital for life. It's often said, isn't it, that a child without physical contact, without a physical expressions of love given towards it, will actually physically die. Might have food, might have water, but without the warmth of love, they will die. Jesus wants us to bring life to all of our relationships. Here are a few expressions of love. Because the love that Jesus calls us to, as I said, isn't a mushy emotion. In fact, we don't even have to like the people that we're called to love. And this blows the received wisdom of our world completely into pieces, because it is so radical. And here are some what I think are important expressions of love, which I believe Jesus wants us to express and display as we grow in him. And I'm not going to really comment on them, okay? I'm just going to throw them at you and see what sticks. What does God want you to take hold of from these? The first is this. Forgiveness is a way of life. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And I was challenged by a little quote that I'm just going to stick at the bottom here. Christian love links love of God with love of neighbour in a twofold great commandment from which neither element can be dropped. So sin against neighbour through lack of human love is sin against God. Is that challenging or what? I think it's an interesting thought and context. Here's another one. Unity is the highest priority in God's heart. Jesus prayed this. The last thing that we know is recorded in conveying his state of mind before he died for us. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one, as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Here's another one. Just caring for one another should be our daily reality. You could almost quote this one back at me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Here's another one. Pursuing love by an act of the will, we make that decision to love. Romans 12. Are you feeling really bad yet? Because I felt awful when I was putting this together. Anyway, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour in serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited, and do not repay anyone evil with evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody, and if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. But do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now you're all feeling incredibly sort of small. Here's the good news. The power to love. Erwin Lutzer said this: love is higher than the other gifts in value. Love is the one gift open to every member of the church. It's not dependent on ability, popularity, or shrewdness. The greatest path is open to the least of travellers. Isn't that good news? Because love has to be a gift from God, as well as our own desire and decision. Because love finds its source in God Himself. What does 1 John state? In very simple terms, it says, God is love. And so any expression of love has to find its origin in Him. And earlier I pointed out that sometimes we try to rationalize our disobedience in following Jesus' command to love by the idea that, well, Jesus was different because he was God. But of course the good news is that God puts himself within us to fulfill the calling and the command that he asks us to fulfill. Now that changes everything. And it also explains why our world is in such a mess. Because without God within them, they're not going to be able to fulfill the commands of Jesus. Without a knowledge of God within them, our society is not going to be able to be loving. Not in the fullness that Jesus calls us to express together. And the reality is that the Holy Spirit is God's powerhouse within us to accomplish the transformation of our lives into lives which then reflect Jesus accurately. And when Jesus says we must love one another, he knew we couldn't do it without his help. He knew it. And so the Bible informs us that we've been given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, when we become Christians. And he calls us to continually be refreshed and filled with the Holy Spirit every single day. And if we can get into that habit of seeking his strength, of allowing ourselves to be refreshed day by day by day by day, then I want to suggest these things. By the Holy Spirit, we become more and more secure in our identity as God's children. And through the Holy Spirit, the resources of compassion and concern are energized into decision and action. And in the Holy Spirit's power, we become more like Jesus, filled with love and the ability to fulfill his new command and to start to change our community. if you forget everything else I've said this morning, don't forget the command. Do you want to read it with me? A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.